loud to me or just loud? I like to be heard, but not annoying, you know what I mean? Well, it is a pleasure to... Let me back it off a little bit. Is that better? It's a pleasure to be with you this morning, church. I was sitting there, you know, anytime I speak, it don't matter how many times I've spoken or where. You know, if you're not just a little bit nervous, I think you have crossed the line of relying on yourself. So I always rely on God, and I just want to let you know I'm encouraged this morning to be here, especially when I heard that y'all are going to let Lonnie be here this evening. I felt at ease. I said, if they'll let Lonnie in, they certainly don't mind me being here. I'm just speaking. I know Lonnie quite well, and it's just a pleasure to be here with you today, and also the choir special. That was a soothing, wonderful song. That's one of my favorite songs. I certainly appreciate your worship with you this morning. But I am Shane Pittman. I'm one of those transplants that took root. I've been here since 1991, so I can say I've been here well over half my life. So I consider myself a local. You know, the true locals are getting harder to find. So when I meet one, I appreciate taking a few minutes to talk with them. I truly just want to thank you for allowing me to be here with you guys this morning. And I also want to set you at ease this morning and let you know, as a Gideon, we don't preach. We bring a message. So that's, you know, that's, y'all can all relax with that. But at the same time, I would like to bring threefold to you this morning, as I'd like to share a little bit of testimony, a message, and also a report, all rolled into one. So everybody remember the three-in-one-all? I want to give you a little three-in-one-all today. So, but first of all, if I had a message to preach at you with today, it would be life changes. I think we all can agree that whether we want it or ready for it or not, life is full of changes. And I can just give you a few on my list this morning, and especially with school getting ready to go back. Here's a few things we know is going to change. We're going to have a new grade to deal with, possibly a new school, new friends, marriage, birth or loss of a child, new job or new responsibilities on your job, health, our abilities, our memory, our president, our economy, our ambition. Our priorities, our attitude, and all change isn't bad, by the way, but change always requires adjustment. Our preacher, as I mentioned to you just a little while ago, that we're in a transition stage once again at our church, and especially as Baptists, you know, change is very difficult. However, today, as we consider the changes in our life, the second part of my message is going to be about no change. So for me, I just want to share a brief testimony with you. I'm a very blessed man to stand here before you today. I'm holding on to 48 years old for a little while longer. I've been married for 24 years. I've been blessed with three children, Hannah, 21. I've got Seth and Rachel that are my 16-year-old twins. So y'all know you can put me on your prayer list. Matter of fact, this time last year, it's a very difficult time for my wife and I. My wife had just been diagnosed with breast cancer. And in the midst of that, we were moving my daughter. She was transferring to UNC Chapel Hill. And my wife wanted to keep that from my daughter because my daughter is the warrior. Not a warrior, a warrior. There's a difference. And she didn't want to put that on my daughter until we knew more about her diagnosis. So that was a year ago this weekend, guys. And I just want to let you know, also as a part of change, we had gone and done the tour of UNC, and, you know, it's a great campus and a great school, but let me just tell you, as a conservative, I consider myself a conservative, and you know, this world, the more it slides this way, the more radical I look, but I really haven't moved. But as we did that walk around the campus, you know, and they got 800 clubs. There's a lot of things going on there. And I was really praying and concerned about my daughter. You know, obviously, when our children go away like that, we worry about the impact of new friends they will make and all the exposure they will have. And we walked around that campus, and we come around the pit, and there was an old preacher there in a black suit holding up a wore-out leather Bible, preaching the gospel right there on the campus. You know, and I thought right then, I said, I think God is speaking to me to let me know that He is still everywhere and at work. Because what I want to let you know is, and this message today is not about me, I just want to give you a little bit of backdrop where I'm coming from this past year. as I turned that over to God, and I said, God, thank you for reminding me that you are everywhere. No matter what things look like, no matter what our circumstances may change, how they may change, God is there. So we walked that campus, knowing my wife is dealing with this diagnosis she's just received and dealing with that. And, you know, my wife was diagnosed with cancer. 2 months later, she was diagnosed breast cancer and then thyroid cancer, 2 months apart. But I want to tell you about two miracles. My wife's treatment went very well. She ended up having the tumor removed and her thyroid removed. And, of course, everyone knows when you go through those things, once again changes, then there's thyroid medicine, then there's this. So it's not been easy, but praise God, my wife is right now cancer-free. And I also want to let you know that as we were sitting at our counter one night, my wife had a really rough day. We were dealing with all the treatment possibilities, and we didn't know exactly yet where things were going. Hadn't even got the thyroid cancer diagnosis yet. The phone rings. It's 10:30 at night. You know, kids, teenagers don't call you. They text you. They don't call. So when they do call you, it scares you. And Wendy's all teared up, and she just looks at the phone, and she answers it, and I see her eyes tear up even more. She said, it's Hannah. And I'm like, oh, Lord, what now? Well, my Hannah was calling me to let me know that Share the Love, which is a campus outreach ministry, had come to their campus, and 450 kids had gone to the student union, and 50 of them had made decisions for rededications or to accept Christ, and my daughter was one of them. So there again, God can handle any of these things that come our way. So I just wanted to share that with you this morning, just let you know where I'm coming from, because I am a grateful man that stands before you today in the midst of the changes in my life. And in the midst of that, I took a job change where I work of different responsibilities and all family related. And, you know, God has just been at work in all the changes in my life. So that's my little tidbit of encouragement for you from my life this morning. So this morning I want to look at a little bit of scripture with you. And Matthew 24, 35 through 42 that I'm sure most of you are very familiar with. And if we look at that together this morning. Man, I went to the eye doctor today and said I still have 20/20, but I just don't agree with them. All right. Starting verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And knew not until the flood came, perfect for this weekend, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. So this morning I want us to consider, in this life that's full of changes, some we certainly didn't see coming, I just would like for you to be encouraged this morning that God's word doesn't change. You know, there's a lot of discussion about Bible versions and worship styles. I'm sure y'all never had that discussion in this church. But you know, really, those are preferential conversations. And sometimes I feel like we spend so much time discussing preferences that we really spend enough time talking about what's really important. Now, don't get me wrong. We all have a preference, and mine is the ones that everyone should like. Don't y'all feel that way? If y'all would just like what I like, we'd all be happy. However, when we're talking about the Bible, praise God, God's Word has never been revised. There may be different versions, but God's Word has not changed and will not change. For the Bible is way more than a rule book or an instruction manual. Now, I agree that it qualifies as a rule book and instruction manual. But if that is all people think God's word is, they've missed it. There's a lot of rule books and instruction manuals. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of them don't do you any good. No matter when the Bible is read, it is unchanging, yet always relevant to the situation. And I find encouragement in that. It shall never be updated. Praise God for that. You know, in this world that we live in now, you might think you've got the right thing, that you need to accomplish something, and then someone asks you, now what version is that? Oh, no, you're not updated? Oh, that's not going to work. Praise God. You don't have to check and see what the date is in your Bible to see if it's going to work or not. This world that we live in is always looking for the next best, the newest model, the latest version, and hoping it is better. iOS updates. Mine's been telling me I need to do something today, right now. What office version are you using, firmware, etc. The list goes on. And at the same time, this world that we live is not really accepting of absolutes and truth that does not change. I mean, really. Because I'll be honest with you, no matter what the world thinks about it, Jesus is an absolute, and he does not change. So it shouldn't be a real surprise to us that the world isn't that open to the gospel, because we like choices. So it shouldn't be any wonder to us now, we should not be surprised at the rapid pace that the world that we live in is decaying. Because without the truth of Jesus Christ, that is what your life will do. So I am so glad that God's word, his living word, is the same yesterday, today, and I know if I don't see tomorrow, God's word will be here tomorrow and it will be the same. So I praise God for that this morning. So who are the Gideons? Fortunately, y'all know who we are, and y'all weren't afraid to call and let one of us come by today, because y'all have been a supportive church for many years of the Gideons, and I spoke here, it's been many years, and I probably not remembered if any of you guys are here, but I think I spoke over there, and I want to say it was blue over there. Am I wrong? It's been a lot of years, but just thank y'all for allowing me to come back today and be with you. So, 1899, John Nicholson and William Knights, two traveling salesmen, just happened to be, not coincidental, trying to find a room at a hotel. And that was in 1899. Two men came together. And just think about that. God started this ministry with those two traveling salesmen that had to share a room because there was no room in the inn. The Superior Hotel in Montana. Think out what a blessing this was. This probably wouldn't have happened if this had been any different. No Wi-Fi, no HD channels, no heated pool, no laptops, smartphones, e-readers. None of that was there. Praise God. Because that stuff gets in the way of a lot, does it not? So, 1899 to today, over 300,000 members, 200 countries, this Bible is printed in over 100 languages. Over 2 billion Bibles have been placed, 2 placed per second. And this part really, and one thing I don't want to do with you guys today is flood you with numbers. You give people too many numbers, they don't remember any of them. It took 93 years for the first 1 billion Bibles to be placed. 93 years. I still think that's pretty good, 93 years. Especially in those first years, because it wasn't as easy to get them placed. The second 1 billion was placed in 14 years. That's encouraging to me. So let that soak in just a second and know that God has worked over the years to place his word. And it's not because of the capabilities of the men. It's because of God, period. So now, giving that some thought, here's the other side. The part that I desire y'all to all pray about. That was a wonderful accomplishment to place that second 1 billion in 14 years. Hotels, motels have always been, I guess would say, one of our most effective strategic placements. And I pray if you're traveling even now, see if that Bible's there. But sadly, in 2006, 95% of all hotel motel chains, it don't matter who owned them, because all of them aren't Christian, I promise you that, would allow Bibles to be placed. That was 2006. Today, and it's probably less than this, it's 48%. That's only 10, 12 years, give or take, there, and since that has drastically changed. And some of the reasons, I want y'all to hear some of the reasons. It was asked. Well, some of the reasons are that someone may be offended to see that Bible in that room. The others are that millennials are not as devout as their parents and grandparents. And some even said that it just does not fit the rooms, that they try to streamline their rooms for a more modern look, and there's not really the furniture there used to be anymore, so there's not a drawer to hide it in. So y'all think about these things. Does that not describe our world, though? So given that some thought, I want to give you some encouragement, because God still works. A number of years ago, a Bible just like this had been left down in a gift shop. One of the guests in a hotel undoubtedly was reading, maybe carried it down there and left it laying in the gift shop. Well, once again, not by coincidence, there was a mother in her late 30s that was struggling with life. She had a teenage son that was like 17 or so, and he was battling drug addiction at 17. And she had tried to seek help for him, and you know, felt like, you know, she was just really at the end of her rope. She really felt like a failure as a single mom. And she came into work that day, and she said she'd already had her a plan of a way to escape the painful life that she was living. And she just decided when she went home that evening, she was just going to pull into the garage, leave the car running, and put the garage door down, slip away from this painful life that she had failed at. Well, that was in her mind that day, and she said there was absolutely no traffic in that gift shop that day. She found herself in the break room with God's Word, and she just opened it at the beginning and started reading. And she said she found herself pulled into God's Word, and minutes turned into hours, and she was uninterrupted. And that day, right there in that break room by herself, she got on the floor and gave her life to Christ. And it was many struggles later and months later, she reached her son for Christ some months later. So I praise God that that little blue Bible was laying in that break room that day, because that was not coincidence. And it had to be in the building to be where it needed to be that day. Also, there's other opportunities. You know, we've got the assisted living. And I just want to let you know, to speak about our camp just a little bit. We are blessed to have a wonderful group of dedicated men, and I don't feel young anymore, but I'm still considered a young Gideon. I don't really feel that, but we've got guys in their 70s, up in their upper 80s that still go, whether it's to place Bibles here locally or whether it's to go to the Bronx, whether it's to do a Bible blitz, wherever, they're willing to go. And, you know, life is cruel sometimes. When we got the health, we don't have the time. And when we get the time, we don't have the health. Anybody been there? So, but I praise God that these men are dedicated, and even though they have their life struggles, they still go when they're called. They say, here I am, and they go. So our fire and police departments, our military, I brought a couple of antiques to you today. This Bible was given to my father-in-law April the 16th, 1953. He passed away about 5 years ago. But he wanted me to have this Bible and wanted me to know what that Bible meant to him. He was not a Christian when this Bible was handed to him. It was many years and many trials later. Actually, it was after losing his 16-year-old daughter on the way to the hospital with a heart attack because she had diabetes and her heart was weak. It was after that that he found himself turning his life over to Christ. So what I want to tell you is, that's not changed. Praise God, we're still able to give our servicemen and women so they can literally get God's Word near their heart with a prayer of it being in their heart. Because that's where it's got to be. That's where it has to be. So we still have that opportunity, which is a wonderful opportunity. all the medical facilities of any kind. I pray anytime you're in a waiting room and you're sitting there, it might have dust on it, but I hope you see that Bible there somewhere. And if you don't, let us know. Hospitals, anyone here ever had a Christian nurse that made a difference in your hospital stay that was willing to share her faith with you? We have a wonderful opportunity to give all medical staff those medical pocket testaments to have, to share, to give, whatever the case may be. Jails and prisons. I had to share this with you. About 5 or 6 years ago, I had done a presentation, and I got towards the end of the service, and there was a gentleman at the back of the church, and he raised his hands. And I'm like, oh, no, we don't raise our hands in the Baptist church. Whoa, no, don't do that. So I acknowledged him, and he said, young man, well, it made my day right then. He called me young man, and then he said, you forgot something. He said, you didn't mention the ministry of the prisons. He said, I just want to let this church know that I didn't just get a Bible left for me. He said, there was a Gideon that came and visited me. He visited me a dozen or more times and shared the gospel with me, and I accepted Christ right in that jail cell. And he said, I want to let you know that I was released and free before they let me out of jail. So I promised him I would never forget to mention the ministry of the prisons and the jails, because you've got a captive audience, and not to benefit of that, it would be a loss. So pray for our ministry as we seek to go to any facility. Remember, it's strategic placement. In this world we live in, if you can just get people to stop for a minute, you got an opportunity. Schools, I told you I had a couple of antiques here. This isn't quite as old. This is mine from elementary school, 1978. Man, I still had El Caminos and zipper boots. And, well, y'all remember. Some of y'all remember that. Everybody smoked. Well, I remember being at school and being on the playground, and we were all called from the playground to line up on the sidewalk. And I'm like, oh, no. They get ready to line us up and find out who did it. So they lined us up, and then I saw these two elderly men, silver hair, coat and tie, boxes. And I had no clue. I'm like, sure enough, these gentlemen, I didn't have a clue who they were. But I can tell you right now, as an elementary student, I knew that those guys, they had a passion for what they were doing. And we all received our testament. And praise God, I've been able to keep up with this one. And we still have some opportunities in the schools, but guys, it's very difficult. So, but do remember, prayer has not been removed from school, and God's word can still get into the schools. But pray for those opportunities, especially at the campus level, at the college level. We have to get really strategic sometimes where we can be to place Bibles, or better to hand those Bibles to those students. And so pray for that. Things have changed, but God is still at work. And also I want to let you know this morning that Gideons are no more than an extension of the local church. You know, we are all members of the local church, and truly are nothing more than an extension, because I've given this a lot of thought lately with some things that's happened in church. It's very important to go to church, guys, and be plugged into a fellowship, but it's more important to be the church. Because the church building is where the church gathers. You know, my grandma used to always call it the church house. I never really understood why she called it the church house. Well, you know, the church house is a building that houses God's people. And when the people leave, the church is gone. And when the people come back, the church is assembled. So to me, that's to remind you that it's not about being a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a Gideon. If we're a Christian, we've all been given the gospel to share. So that would be what I would let you know this morning, that the Gideons are nothing more than the extension of my church and your church. So I want y'all to realize that you are part of this ministry. And, you know, just praying, encouraging a Gideon, if you know one, goes a long way. And just being a part of that church extended. And just to give you a little example, just a few weeks ago, there was over 100 Bibles placed in two Christian schools right here in our county. So we're always looking for opportunities to replace, replenish, look for that groundbreaking of a new place that we can put something in. There's a lot of groundbreaking been going on around here in the last few years. So we look for those opportunities. There again, it seems that this generation that we live in really and truly view the church as an optional thing. And really and truly not necessary. But I always say this, you know, it's very important to be encouraged and come together, refuel and recharge, and seek those that are lost. And this is just another opportunity for the church to seek those that are lost, because, you know, you don't have to leave your county to be a missionary. You don't even have to leave your home to be a missionary. There's a lot of ways for that opportunity. And I've been really fortunate in the past few years. I've been able to go to Haiti a couple times, and I've been to the Dominican Republic three times in the last recent years. And one of the biggest blessings for me was to be able to take my daughter. Well, she was 18. And let me tell you what, an 18-year-old daughter, the first time out of the country to a place like the Dominican Republic, we had a rough couple of days, but praise God, we got through those. And as I told my daughter, she got over herself, and she had a wonderful experience in the Dominican Republic. And, you know, even as I look now, going to Haiti after the earthquake there and being able to go, and, you know, you have this mindset whenever you go somewhere like that of all you're going to accomplish. Before we even got there, you know, I could see it coming, that competitive spirit, you know. We're gonna build the most huts. We're gonna do this, and you know, God has a way of sometime of letting us know we're in the wrong. Because as we went there and got started with that ministry, I learned quickly that catastrophic event in that country was a door opening to bring the gospel to that country. And I always say that, you know, God didn't put that on those people, but God allowed his people to work through that open door that was given. And my son was able to go with me twice, and what a blessing it was to be able to, as we were able to, the second time, we actually went and built some chapels, and at the end there, to be able to present a key to that chapel in cases of Bibles for those students at that church to have their own Bible in their language. What a blessing it was, and believe me, it wasn't me. I was as fortunate to have the opportunity to be there, because God's plan is going to take place with or without us, but we have the opportunity to choose to be a part of it or not. You know, it humbles me to know that God don't need me, but he wants me, and it's much better to be wanted than needed, and I praise God for that. So opportunities out of the country are always awesome opportunities, but guys, the local seeds that are planted is really where missions takes place, because without the local part, there is no extension. You can't skip the local and do the foreign missions, even though they're very important, but it starts at home. It truly does. You know, one thing that I'm always encouraged about, and I told you I wouldn't flood you with numbers, but I got one, and this was actually 10 years ago next month. Venezuela Bible Blitz. This country at that time, a population of 11 million, 2% Christian, 98% lost, regardless of what they were, because there's only two things, Christian or lost. 23 Gideons were able to go for 2 weeks. 652,600 scriptures were distributed. 9,140 souls affirmed Christ as Savior. 407 decisions were made in small group settings. 47 churches were spoken in. $12,000 were raised. But the part to me that's the most encouraging now, as of that time, and it's gone triple, 29 Gideons and 13 wives were left there in that country to seek the lost in their own country. You know, so I said I wouldn't flood you with numbers, but there's a few that I have to tell you. And for today, as a church, I know you're thinking, well, what do you want? I know you're going to come and you'll give us some numbers and you're going to ask us for money. But I hope that's not what you hear from me today. I truly hope that you, first of all, hear me say thank you. for what you've already done for our ministry, for the support you've done over the years, and I would ask for your continued prayers. As we all know, I don't have to tell you, our world's in a sad state of affairs, and it's seeking everything but God. And unfortunately, it takes a long time, just like it did me. I ran until I was 21 years old to realize any other avenue I took was doing nothing but let me hit a wall. Praise God, I hit a wall soon enough to bounce back and turn around and find my way to Christ. But my plea with you today would just be to encourage and pray for the Gideon ministry. Give if you feel led today, but do be reminded today that all Gideons for all trips pay their own way. There's no part of the funds that are received that goes to travel or anything of the Gideons. We just pay our dues every year. Anything else we want to do, we cover ourselves. So please know, there's not many things you can give that 100% goes to where you want it to go. It's so sad. So many organizations, a small portion gets there, even though they're great cause. I like to know that it actually gets there. So you can know that. And also, just make use, as we've had for many, many, many years now, the Memorial Bible Program. I mean, there's many different ones in memory of and in recognition. And the one I love the most is, I was just thinking of you today. Now, everybody loves birthday cards and something at Christmas, but I'm going to tell you what. When you're sitting around on a Tuesday afternoon and you kind of got a case of the can't help it, and that card comes in there and there's somebody that's letting you know they were thinking about you and placing Bibles in your name, that's a blessing. So just take it. You know, take advantage of that opportunity that's there. And really today, guys, I just want you to know that the Gideons appreciate you. And y'all are a part of the Gideons because you support the Gideons. And I just want to let y'all be praying for your church. As you know, the local church, I don't know about yours, but mine has plenty of struggles. And I know that we'll continue to, because if you're doing what God would have you do, there's going to be struggles. If it's going really, really easy, we probably need to stop and see what we're doing. So. But I just want to thank y'all for allowing me to spend some time with you today, and I hope that I didn't give you too much testimony, but I just wanted to encourage you, give you a little bit about what the Gideons are doing, and just know that we are all a part of this, and we're all in it together. But thank you for your time. God bless your church. I really appreciate you.
Let's stand and sing, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, make me Savior wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all.